Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 40 days after Jesus is born, Mary and Joseph make the 6-mile trip from Bethlehem to the temple to present their firstborn to the Lord, as was the custom going all the way back to Exodus. And at the temple, they meet a man named Simeon. Simeon is older and, from what we understand, close to death, but Simeon has faith given to him by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has assured Simeon that he would not die before the Messiah with his own eyes. When he sees the baby Jesus, he knows that this is the Christ, the one he had waited for all of his life. Simeon, according to the Bible here, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that mean? Well, consolation means to give comfort to someone who is suffering. It's also the only kind of trophy I've ever won when it comes to sports, but that's not important right now. The important thing is that consolation means to give comfort to someone who is hurting or suffering, and that's what the Messiah comes to do. Comfort, comfort, ye my people, is what Isaiah 40 starts out with. Simeon and Anna are great examples of patient joy. Anna is an 84-year-old woman, also waiting for the Messiah, and they wait in joyful expectation. Now you might be thinking, what does joy have to do with patience? They seem like opposites, but they're very much connected. And Simeon and Anna show us what patient joy looks like. As Tom Petty once taught us, the waiting is the hardest part. Waiting is really hard to do, but it is an important part of Christian life. I want to share with you why it's important to wait with patience and how that leads to joy. Number one, waiting with patience. There's two areas of our life in which we need to grow and be more patient. First of all, we need to be more patient with God's timing. Second of all, we need to be more patient with sinful people. But let's start with God's timing. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that God's timing is perfect. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that for everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. God's timing is always perfect. We can trust it completely. But a lot of times we don't. You and I aren't always on the same calendar page as God. His ways are not our ways. His timing is definitely not our desired timing. God usually takes more time than we would like to do those things that we want him to do. God is far more patient than we are. And God always thinks of the bigger picture. He sees into all eternity. You and I, people in Peter's day were angry and frustrated that Jesus had not yet returned. Where's the second coming that he promised? Peter wanted to remind them of something. 2 Peter 3, 8-9. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, 8-9. So, Peter reminds us that God's not on the same schedule we are. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. God dwells in eternity, and he's most concerned with our eternal welfare, not our momentary comfort at any given time. And everything God does is out of his great compassion and love. God's ways are not our ways. His ways are motivated by his great compassion and love for us. The heart of everything God does is compassion. His ultimate goal for us is not our comfort, but our salvation and the salvation of all people. If God is delaying, he is doing so out of compassion that as many people might possible might come to repentance and be saved. You see, the key is what it says there in 2 Peter 3. God is patient with you. He wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, right? God is patient with you. The reason we are to be patient with others is because God has been patient with us. God wants us, we need to be patient with God's perfect timing, and we need to also be patient with sinful people. We need to be patient with all people because all people, including ourselves, are sinful, right? All people are born sinful. That means they're lazy, self-centered, self-absorbed, and just plain selfish. And we are that way by nature. There are no exceptions, and especially not ourselves. Nobody taught us to be lazy. As I said, we are all this way by nature. Nobody taught us to be lazy. Nobody taught us to be self-centered. Nobody taught us to be self-absorbed. Nobody taught us to be selfish. Those things come automatically to us. I'm not saying that's what we want to be. In fact, I think most people try hard not to be those things. But they come naturally to us. It's what we fall into. It's our default settings, so to speak. Our factory settings. However, if we first recognize that we are lazy, self-centered, self-absorbed, and plain selfish, we recognize that in ourselves, we will tend to be more patient when we see that same sinful nature in other people. When people act in a sinful or selfish way towards us, we can remind ourselves that many times we too have been selfish and sinful. God is patient with us, so we need to be patient with other people. Proverbs 20, verse 22 says, "Do not say, 'I will repay evil.' Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you." That's the Old Testament version of Romans 12, 17, 21, which says, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." When people sin against us or treat us badly or hurt our feelings, our natural inclination is to repay evil for evil, to pay them back in kind. The Bible says to be patient, wait for the Lord. Let the Lord deal with the person. You don't want to start paying back evil for evil because that will just make things worse. It only escalates the situation until it becomes a disaster for both people involved. If we repay evil for evil, we are only multiplying evil. Our goal is not to multiply evil, but to defeat it. How do you defeat evil? Through love. What is love? Well, you know 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It keeps no record of wrongs. Do not say, "I will repay evil for evil." Instead, wait for the Lord. He will deliver you. So we need to be patient with God's timing, and we need to be patient with sinful people. How can we become more patient? That's point number two, growing in patience. So I think all of us would admit we need to be stronger when it comes to patience. But how can we do that? Well, first of all, it starts with being strong in the Lord. Isaiah 40:31. "They wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." To be patient, we need to be strong in the Lord. Patience is not easy. The waiting is the hardest part. It takes strength, spiritual and emotional strength, to be patient. Any fool can lose their temper, and that's exactly what fools do. I know, because I've been a fool many times. Listen to what the scripture says. "A man of quick temper acts foolishly." Proverbs 14:17. "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man quietly holds it back." Proverbs 29:11. "Do not be quick to become angry, for anger lodges in the hearts of fools." Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. The Bible is clear. The quickest path to foolish decisions and foolish behavior is anger. Do not let anger lodge in your heart. Do not give full vent to your anger. Instead, be patient and wait on the Lord. "They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." It is the Lord who gives us the strength, and only the Lord can give us this kind of strength. To be patient, even in situations in which it is so tempting to just lose it, to lose our temper. When we trust in the Lord, he renews our strength. He gives us his peace. Anger is born out of fear, worry, and anxiety. Patience comes from being at peace, and peace comes from the Lord. In fact, both of these things come from the Lord, right? They're connected. They're all three connected here in the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, right? All three of those go together, joy, peace, and patience. Through the Holy Spirit, God gives us strength to live a life of peace and patience, and that comes through the power of God's Word, which is the second point here. Be strong in God's Word. "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his Word I hope." Psalm 135, verse 5. To wait on the Lord means to put trust in God's Word. Our hope is not in our circumstances. Our hope is not in our own abilities. Our hope is in God's word and in God's promises. The more we study and listen to God's word, the closer we become to God, the better we understand his promises. And God's promises are awesome. He promises us a good future. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and hope. He promises forgiveness of sins. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He promises us eternal life. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And that's just the beginning. That's just some of the promises God has. God has many, many more promises to give you in his word. But the better we know God's word, the better we know his promises. And the better we know his promises, the better we know his love, his compassion, his patience, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and how patient he is with us. That motivates us to be patient with others. And that's the last point. Be joyfully patient. Colossians 1:11 sums it all up for us. Being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. God's word strengthens us with power that comes from the Holy Spirit, so that we might overcome evil with good, so that we might be people who are able to endure, and that we might be like Simeon and Anna, being able to be both patient and joyful at the same time. Patience and joy are not opposites. They both came from the same place. They both come from the same person, the Holy Spirit. They are both fruits of the Spirit. Patience leads to joy, and joy leads to being more patient. It's the opposite of a vicious circle. It's the circle of virtue, right? Good things lead to more good things. Being impatient, losing our temper, leads to misery and broken relationships. But patience leads to stronger relationships and more joy in your life. The ultimate reason to be patient is because God is patient with us. Love is patient and kind, and no one loves you more than God does. He is patient with you, and he is kind with you. The better you understand that, the stronger your patience can be. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.